Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kay, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show.
And I think we can all agree that humor can enrich and empower our lives for sure. This is the Life Talk Show. I'm Randy Kay. I'm here with Diana Hall, Nikki Tombolides, and our guest today, Dr. Joyce Saltman. And we're going to be talking about the value of humor in our lives, in coping and enjoying and having a good time. So before we bring on our guest, as usual, girls, so why did we choose this topic? Remember, we sat around drinking a glass of wine, that helped. And we talked about, because this friendship began with how much we laugh together and
how we enjoy each other's company.
We right. definitely do, but would you say we've all had things to deal with in life? Is that fairly yes. certain? We've talked
oh,
about
absolutely.
That in the past. So, I know as a former radio morning personality, one lesson I learned, and we're going to share this with our guest in a moment as soon as we bring in Joyce, is that anything bad that happened in our family became a funny story the next day. And I started thinking, if I just start thinking about it as funny while it happens, life will be a lot more fun.
Yeah.
And let's put tragedy out of the picture, obviously. But, this stuff that, your daughter wanting a $500 dress for the senior prom, stuff like that. So, humor really has helped us get through a lot of things. Nikki,
yeah.
do you want to chime in on that before we bring in Joyce? Because I can't wait. She's so much fun.
Well,
yes.
I always find that I'm attracted to people that are funny. And, I just got back from a trip in Florida with my
Welcome
husband.
Back,
who,
kiddo.
Thank you. And, my husband and I don't really laugh a lot. My kids and I... please forgive me, honey, but the kids and I laugh a lot at him because
he doesn't listen anyway. Don't worry about it.
right. He tells me he does, and then I quiz him after the show.
Okay.
He's just funny, but he doesn't think he's funny, and it's just in a goofy kind of way. So we laugh a lot. I don't want to say at him. So, but being
with
away.
Him?
No. Just keep going.
Right.
So being
it's
away,
really
this
at
week,
him, but we're not going to touch that.
And I went away. We went away with another couple for a week, and we laughed so much at him, at just life in general. I had the best time, and when I think back on this week's vacation, it was how much we laughed, which was. Constant morning till night. So
yeah. And that's definitely so much has been written about the value of humor in healing sickness. Mm-hmm. And before we get all serious, let's bring in our guest.
Yes,
she'll keep us from getting serious for sure.
Yeah,
our guest is a professor of special education at Southern Connecticut State University, and along with her PhD, which you told me earlier, people wanted to call you a doctor, so now they can. She has 4 graduate degrees. Oh, my God. But I love this, teaching a graduate course entitled The Enhancement of Learning Through Humor and a summer institute called Healing Education, Laughter, and Play. And we were just laughing so hard in the break room. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Joyce Saltman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you
welcome.
You're welcome. And I will add that her lovely husband, Saul Hitzig, is in studio as well, just to keep an eye on you, I guess. And you've been married 90 years, as you told us. So, welcome to the show. I mean, you've done stand-up comedy. You've been on Regis Philbin. You've written a lot of articles on the subject of laughter and books. I love this one, Sing a Celebration. I'm changing my locks and cementing the windows. Tell us about your research on the therapeutic value of laughter and how you use it in your life, or whatever you want to talk about. Just talk to us.
Well, I'll tell you briefly that the reason I got started doing the talk on laughter was because I lived in Cheshire,
mm-hmm.
and I had a therapy practice, and I was, of course, a professor at Southern. And in between husbands, because I had just gotten divorced, I was doing stand-up comedy in a local restaurant. And the Cheshire Library was doing a series on healing. And they had someone on Tai Chi and someone on massage therapy. And they called me up and they said, look, you know a lot about laughter. Would you come and speak on the therapeutic value of laughter? And I had just gotten married. And
Saul?
Not to Saul.
Oh, this is a different one.
My husband who passed away 6 years ago.
Oh, sorry.
Very nice. Really terrific guy.
Yeah.
But
wonderful.
He came home and I said, honey, I'm speaking for the Cheshire Library. I'm going to speak on the therapeutic benefits of laughter. And he said, oh, that's wonderful. He said, what do you know about it? And I said, I know it's true. And I know how to read. And I started reading all of the articles and books and Norman Cousins and Bill Fry and all of these people, Herb Lefkowitz. There were a lot of people who were specifically writing about laughter.
Right, Norman
children.
Cousins wrote the one about
the anatomy of it. Exactly
and
right.
Yeah,
the way he was
and
cancer.
I put together a talk, and that talk, I mean, you should not, it doesn't matter because we are in Bridgeport, but I learned a lot about the local newspapers. Mm-hmm. The talk was covered 2 weeks in advance by the Waterbury Republican, did a whole Sunday, you know, with colored photographs and everything. It was really beautiful. Mm. The Current did an article. They sent a reporter and a photographer to the talk. So, I mean, there really was someone who knew what the talk was going to be.
Wow.
The Register covered it 2 weeks later. Perfect.
New Haven
the
Register.
New Haven Register. Wow. They cover news 2 weeks after it's over. The war has ended. The money has been spent. The flood has subsided. That's when you'll get it from the New Haven Register. But I was very lucky because so many papers did cover it. I started getting phone calls the next day.
Wow.
So I was doing like 100 lectures a year for, you know, like all the big insurance companies and the banks and schools and DCYF. That's what it was in those days before it became, you know, DCF.
That would be Department of Children
and Families. It was Young Department Children. Of Children and Youth Services.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. Just in case you don't know.
Absolutely. Okay. So yes. It was unbelievable. It was like instantly, overnight, I became this great sensation. And it wasn't that I was so sensational. Believe me, I was just me. However, people are desperate to laugh. I teach a course. This is all true. I teach a course in the winter. When I get to Florida, I teach a course for an academy for continuing education.
Okay.
And most of the classes, including Saul, teaches one on creative concocting, and he
creative
ends up
with, concocting.
Yeah, well, he's
you
really
have
good
to
at that.
Course in on this one.
Saul is nodding in the corner. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So I mean, he and other people do stuff on, you know, current events and on you know, arms races and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they get like, you know, 8, 10, 15 people in a class. I have 240 students every Tuesday afternoon.
Wow.
And it is not that I'm so fabulous.
No, you
are. No, that's not it. Truthfully, I think anybody
who was
speaking on a topic, they're all senior citizens, they all live in the developments nearby. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Boynton Beach and Boca Raton and Delray
Beach. I'm your neighbor then.
Lake Worth.
Yeah, I'm in Hutchinson Island, north.
Well, that's
north.
Not exactly a neighbor.
Right, right.
Your sense of direction is somewhat limited, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But people are desperate to have something to laugh about.
Yeah.
We've got to get past the things that we have no control over.
Yeah, but you know what? I think Joyce, life is so serious and so heavy that you need to lighten it up. And humor helps you.
Absolutely.
And it's a must. Like, you must have that every day.
It's so true. And you may know this statistic. How many times a day does a child laugh versus how many times a day an adult laughs?
Yeah.
And if you don't know the statistic,
200
it's like
times
at least 200. I don't have the
exact. Once a week.
And why is
no,
that?
No, an adult is like a few times a day.
Yeah,
you know, I we have a PhD here, so maybe you can answer the question. But you know, I know that when I do certain things, like I'm a voiceover talent and obviously a radio broadcaster, and when I hang, well, my favorite friends are the ones we just laugh at stuff.
Right, absolutely.
And so, but when I go to particular things, like I just went to a conference of voiceover talents. Now, we spend all day in closets recording medical literature and all kinds of stuff, and we're very funny people. A lot of us have taken improv, and we were stage actors, and we're doing this to pay our bills.
Right.
But we love what we do. So when we get together for this conference, we laugh constantly, all day long. Somebody brought up this card game, which is getting very big now. It's called Cards Against Humanity. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No.
All right, but basically it's like a card game where somebody has the beginnings of a sentence and the other people have possible endings, punchlines.
Okay.
And, you know, you read the beginning of your sentence and somebody hands you the ends and then you pick the funniest one.
Ah.
So we were playing this game and we were so hysterical we couldn't even read the cards out loud. And it was like being 3 years old. It was wonderful.
Yes.
And just the laughter. And you were saying you go to laughter yoga. Like,
Wednesday morning.
Laughter yoga.
Free of charge every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock. We meet at the Plains Community Center in Orange.
Okay.
And Connie Pino leads this group. Mm. And she is a certified laughter yoga instructor.
I have done laughter
right
yoga.
Right now, actually,
I love it.
She's this week has been at a week of additional classes with Dr. Kataria, who started laughter yoga in India.
Wow.
And he's the one who leads these groups of thousands of people in India.
So explain what it is. Because I laugh at yoga all the time because I suck at it. So when I go there, I laugh at myself because everyone else is balancing and I'm falling over. But I don't think that's what you're talking about. So what is laughter yoga?
Laughter yoga doesn't really resemble yoga in any big way.
Other than the fact that we do breathe.
Oh, good.
Breathing is a good thing. And we do different activities, and each activity ends with, ah, ha, ha, ha. And we have an ongoing one that's, you know, very good, yay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's, you know, ho, ho, ha, 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 ho, ho, ha, ha. And that goes several times, and then very good, yay. So you're moving your arms a lot, and you're doing aerobic kinds of things, and some of it you bend down, but not very low.
Right.
And we're pretty old, so we do less low even, and we laugh just trying to bend down.
It's like special education laughter yoga.
Right. We're trying. We're laughing.
After that, by the way, we all go out to breakfast at Chips. Which is the chips in Milford, the original chips.
Yeah.
And we all get our own checks.
Yeah.
So nobody has to worry what anybody else is eating or ordering, which really, I'm sure,
helps.
allays the fears of some of the people who come. Right. And we laugh through breakfast.
I have a question.
Great. Go ahead.
How did you start it? Was it that day that you went with the humor that you told Randy about, that they asked you to do how you go through the laughter at the Cheshire Library? Is that how it started? And then you said, gee, is this something that I want to do?
No, I mean, humor must have been in your life
before. Have you always been funny? Yeah, that's...
Have you always been funny?
Have you always been funny? Yes.
Well, I have always been funny because I am the baby in a family where my brother was 15 and a half when I was born, and my sister was 11 and a half. So I was born the day before my mother's 40th birthday. My dad was 44. And I was pretty much given carte blanche to be silly and funny.
It's funny because everything was met with applause, right?
I'm the baby.
Now, isn't that funny? That's almost the same situation as my husband. I just sat here and told you about how humorous my husband is. And almost the same exact situation with a brother and sister much older, about the same.
Yeah.
And the mother was 40 when he was.
So you feel like you got good attention when you were funny, or you just got good attention, period?
I got
the baby.
Great attention. I was A, the baby, B, I was in a Jewish family, grew up in Brooklyn, New York, right? Where humor was, in truth, I was never going to be gorgeous, and I was very bright, but I was never going to be brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So being funny actually was a way to get
attention,
accepted in all my groups, and
a lot of people start that
friends
way.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I know Jim Carrey talks about that he was the class clown in eighth grade, mm-hmm. and the teacher would use his antics as motivation for the class. If everybody gets their work done, then we'll let Jim entertain us at the end of the class.
Oh, no kidding.
Something like, you know, so it gets like, I don't know if it's innate, if it's inborn, or if it comes from your family, but to see the humorous side of things, it becomes family jokes, which are, it's a different, laughing with, and let's just get serious about laughter for a minute, but laughing with is different from laughing at.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's cruel laughter, and that's, you know, laughing at the expense
and
of.
And we are not
and there, you know, there is
condoning that.
No, of course, I mean, there is a science to humor, but it's just, you know, like I found, as a stand-up comedian, you know, and I know as a morning show personality, Nikki, I love you, but you're fanning yourself and the microphone is totally picking it up. So I know it's really hot in here. But they, you know, the audience is going, what is that? Is there a butterfly in the studio? You're probably changing the universe right now as you change the wind patterns.
See, she's young enough to go through a change.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too late for me.
So, but what I learned is there is like it comes naturally, but there's a science to comedy. And so I have this book called The Comedy Bible, written by Judy Carter, who's in L.A. She's a great stand-up comedian, and she coaches speakers about how to add more humor to what they do. And she's really wonderful, and I've talked to her a few times. And, you know, she talks about the basic rules of comedy, but one of the things is, and Jerry Seinfeld talks about this too, keeping a comedy notebook. of things that strike you funny or strike you as weird or scare you or you or just like are, oh my God, that this is going to be funny tomorrow. Like just, you know, I remember my moment on the radio and I was afternoon drive and I wasn't even on the morning show yet, so you weren't supposed to be funny, but what the heck. And my son was late getting home. He was like 13, like your daughter's age, right. Diana. And, you know, I couldn't leave until he came home.
Right.
And so I got on the air and I was like, what? 30 seconds, almost 30 seconds late, but I made it on time, and I just got on the air, and I went, I need you to call me and tell me how to punish my son. He's driving me crazy. And the phones were ringing all afternoon because they could all relate. It's about relating, isn't it? Yes. Seeing the truth underneath stuff.
Mm, absolutely. Right.
So so you got started. You were just like funny. You enjoyed being funny. It was part of your personality.
Right.
And then it became a career for you? Like, what's that?
Well, I never, you know, there was a time that I was denied tenure at Southern. And
As a special education teacher. Okay.
Because I did not have my doctorate, which is not part of the requirements for a contract, but we had a brand new president, mm-hmm. and there were three of us, one of whom was the president of the AAUP, one of whom...
What's an AAUP?
Association of University Professors.
Okay.
One of whom was had the number two gymnastics team in the country. Mm-hmm. She was the gymnastics coach. And me. And we were very popular teachers, and we all were very good at what we did, but we were the only three people that were up for tenure. You know, at the sixth year, you have to either get tenure or mm-hmm. you have 1 year, and then you're sayonara,
right? Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And he denied tenure to us, and my brother said, Joyce, it's great, you'll be able to do more speaking, because I was doing a lot of speaking engagements, but I never missed a class or mm-hmm. office hours in order to go on a speaking engagement. I was doing them all over the country, so I really had to work around my teaching schedule. And I said, George, I will never give up what I love doing best for what I love doing second best. And as it turns out, the president reversed the decision on all three of us, and he was let go.
Oh,
nice.
He was not a good president.
Now that's karma. Yeah.
But the three of us all remained there.
But Dr. Saltman Joyce? Because of all your speaking engagements and...
By the way, I did get my doctorate after that.
You did.
Right. For no reason.
You didn't have to anymore.
I had tenure. I didn't have to.
Right.
That's all I got.
And you did your dissertation...
On humor and adult learning.
Which is...
And it is good for us. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, because of that, and, you know, so a lot of charities benefited from all of your speaking engagements because you...
Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us? It's pretty impressive.
Well, this was in truth, mm-hmm. I really think that we are all here for a reason. And I think that the reason that
I
was put here was to help people lighten up, just in general, not about money, just to help people lighten up, and obviously not about dieting. This we know without mm-hmm. a doubt. That is not my job, to help you lighten up.
Right.
In fact, when I meet people very thin who give up dessert, I go over and I say, you know, you're going to die anyway.
terminal.
One should not, you know, diet
right.
so you live forever.
Right.
You're not going to live forever.
You're terminal.
Definitely.
So
what happened was I got these speaking engagements and people were paying me. You know, my first talk was for $25 for the Cheshire, Friends of the Cheshire Library.
Right.
And I didn't ask for money. I mean, they gave me this check. I said, what, are you crazy? I mean, who's going to pay me to speak?
Yeah.
Right? And then I started getting all those speaking engagements. Right. I mean, the most I got was from this Michael Menchel Speakers Bureau. It was for the International Claims Association in Opryland. And they sent a big white stretch limo for me. I mean, you talk about feeling ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wow.
One person.
Oh, my God.
One person with one overnight bag with this big stretch limo. I was afraid even to drink the water because I figured they would charge them $1,000 for a glass of water. But they paid me $10,000 for that.
Oh, wow.
So I started putting away all this money because I didn't want to use it because I figured, you know, I can live on what I have. I'm never going to shop at Saks. I'm not mm-hmm. a Bergdorf person. I am TJ Maxx. Marshalls is my favorite store.
Oh, Marshalls.
You
yes,
know,
mine too.
I don't like expensive food because it's going to turn into duty in 20 minutes. So I figure, what is the point of spending a lot of money on these things?
Right.
So I put it aside. My brother invested it for me. And ultimately, I was able to give away all this money to
over
my charity.
Over $1 million. My God.
So at this point, I just spoke last Sunday in Holbrook, Long Island for 300 cancer survivors.
Wow.
And they sent the check directly to this little synagogue, $2,500 directly to this little synagogue that had a fire last October and is trying to rebuild. They don't even have a sanctuary right now.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
So it's Joyce. Great. Oh. It is so great to have anything that
You're
people
so
want to pay you for.
Yes.
That
and
is
all
fabulous.
The good it does.
Yep.
How
we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back to learn more about, you know, the therapeutic value of humor and a little bit about the science of humor as well. This is the Life Talk Show.
Want a high-end kitchen at a low cost? Just turn to Alto Kitchens in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Go where hundreds of architects, developers, and homeowners have found high quality with elegant design, both modern and traditional. Large selection, fast turnaround, quick and precise installation, excellent customer service, and five-year warranty. Stop in and see 2991 Fairfield Avenue, Bridgeport. Free measuring and 3D layout. For more info and some inspiring pictures, just visit altokitchens.com. If your son was diagnosed with schizophrenia, would you give up or fight? One out of every four families deals with a major mental illness. One out of four. Mental illnesses rank first among illnesses that cause disability in the U.S., Canada, and
Why
Western
is no
Europe.
One talking about it?
Randy Kay is talking about it. Then behind his voices, one family's journey from the chaos of schizophrenia to hope. There is hope. Publishers Weekly calls it a must-read. Available on Amazon, hardcover, audiobook, and e-reader. This segment comes to you by Interiors by Diana, a full-service interior design firm specializing in residential and commercial renovations and design. Receive a complimentary consultation at interiorsbydiana.com. The best advice for better living. And by Penguin's Best Housekeeping Service, serving commercial and residential properties in the greater Fairfield County since 1994, specializing in property management for upscale residential estates. Visit us at penguinsbesthousekeepingservice.com. The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Champions Mentoring Program, who serves children and youth in the greater Bridgeport area who are impacted by the incarceration of a family member. A rewarding opportunity to enrich and inspire the life of a child and yours. Be a champion. Tina Bannis at familyreentry.org.
And we're back with the Life Talk Show. So we were talking with Dr. Joyce Saltman, who is delightful, a professor of special education, a specialist in humor. And I just want to remind you that our next show next week, make a date to be with us because we'll have a conversation about what is clean green. And we'll interview our own Nikki Tombolides, who owns Penguin's Best Housekeeping Service, about the daily habits that really help us keep our lives better, keep our homes clean, and we'll also interview someone who helps keep 7,200 people clean each and every day. More of that next week on the Life Talk Show. So, you know, back to humor during the break, Joyce, you were telling us about I too had a list between husbands, but the list kept changing. And when I had the right list, I found the right man. But but what was number one on yours? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when my husband died, he had been really, we were married 24 years, really nice guy, school principal, started every day with the riddle of the day over the loudspeaker.
Oh, love it.
And actually, talk about inspiring stories. He thought he was going to run out of riddles, but the kids started bringing them in to him. They said, Mr. Saltman, how's this?
Wow.
And then he had them announce the riddle of the day. And then the teachers would send in answers with the attendance sheets.
What? I love it.
And in the afternoon, the lunch ladies were already gone. Next morning, they would come in and say, Kopi, what were some of the answers yesterday to the riddles? But the most amazing story was he had a kid who was a selective mute who did not speak outside of her home and did not speak to classmates, did not speak to teachers, nothing. Eventually, she started speaking to some selected classmates.
Right.
By the end of the second year, she came into his office and said, I would like to read the riddle of the day on the PA, and she did.
Oh, wow. Really? That's a huge
story.
But tell us about your list.
Well, what I did about a year after my husband died, I made a list of what I was looking for, because I really do think that the energy that we put out into the universe is experienced by many
people. I agree.
And I had on my list a bunch of things that I was looking for. one of which, I think the most important was Wakes Up Happy. And I married Saul because he was the happiest person in the world. He's happy in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. Now, it's not that he's not bright and therefore does not understand what's going on in the world.
Well, he is married to you. He should be happy.
Oh, of course.
That's lovely. Saul, do you have anything you would like to say? You're sitting so nicely in the corner. You want to just tell us how much you love Joyce?
And why?
And why?
She is my main squeeze. And basically, Joyce, actually, I didn't marry her. I actually won the lottery of $6.8 billion. She is one in 6.8 billion. And I don't think anyone can match that winning entry. And I am so fortunate to have met her.
Oh, Saul, you're a doll.
And I'm willing to tell anyone now that they have to just take the chance and get in the race.
And take you a chance. Have to get the lotto.
You have to go to lotto, but without any money.
Right.
That's the best lotto to win, too.
We did a show earlier on dating in middle age. I think I can fairly say that with this company.
Absolutely.
And we interviewed Herman and Karen, who also, you know, it was the same thing. It's like, take a chance.
Know
what you're looking for. And you know, for me, obviously, makes me laugh. Not makes me laugh, but laughs with me. That's very different.
Mm-hmm.
Not makes me laugh, but laughs with me.
Right.
It was really tops on my list. It had to be someone to me that I would, if we worked in the same place, I'd want to stop by his desk to see how his day is going, just because
Absolutely.
It was fun to be with him. You know, that was more important than the six-figure paycheck and all of that. And laughing at the same things together still keeps all of us close. Our family,
when
we laugh together, it's cool. So anyway.
I have a question. Joyce, because we all have negative people in our lives.
Toxic people.
Toxic people. How do you turn it around? How do you manage to be with them or not be with them?
That's the answer.
Not be
with them. If you're married to them or gave birth to them, it's a little harder.
Yes.
Can't divorce children. How do you deal with the energy suckers in your life?
And we all know that. We all know people like that who are just like Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
No matter what you tell them. Oh, it's beautiful. The flowers need grass. It's raining out. Yeah. But it's raining out. Like everything.
I have a neighbor like this.
You have a neighbor like that.
If the sun is out, oh, it's too sunny. If the rain is out, my God, the sun is not out. It's always
So, what do you have any secrets?
Well, actually, in my laughter talks, the first part of my laughter talk is about the physiological benefits of laughter, which are pretty well known by now. And the second half are ways to bring more laughter into your life. And one of the things that I talk about is how important it is to surround yourself with positive people. Because the negative people, this is what you're talking about. When you have a good time coming to work and you have a great time just kibitzing with each other, you know, kidding around, joking with each other.
That's what we do. We kibitz.
Yes, well, kibitz.
Kibitz.
That's
in Israel. They have a kibitz. You kibitz. Oh, yeah. I'm a Jew from Queens, I should tell you.
Okay, well, then we understand.
A Jew from Brooklyn.
Kibitz. That was cute. That was very cute. All right, anyway, go ahead.
But when you're dealing with these energy suckers, really, it is part of their hobby to drag you down. And I talk about their modus operandi really is like pollinating flowers. They just will go around the room. They go, here's a rotten story for you and a miserable story for you and something worse for you. And they seem not to be happy until everybody is walking around saying, oh, my God.
How do I kill myself?
Well, yeah. the really scary part is Daniel Goleman did an article for the New York Times in the Science
News. And he's the one
I'm thinking EQ.
Daniel Pink. Okay, he's the one that
wrote
EQ.
Goleman did the emotional intelligence.
Right, okay.
And he writes fabulous stuff. And this particular article was about moods, and they did studies on moods, and they discovered that imperceptibly, we don't even know what's happening, in milliseconds, faster than that, you can absorb a mood from someone sitting next to you.
Yes.
So I tell people, when you go into a restaurant, don't sit next to someone buried in a newspaper.
Right.
Sit next to someone who's animatedly talking to their friend or the waitress or somebody, because if you're going to absorb energy, let it be from someone
positive.
Let
it be a positive
one.
Really.
And one of the things that we really have got to know when we're dealing with these energy suckers is we are reinforcing by listening to these stories, we are reinforcing that negative behavior. You know, as
misery
a teacher,
needs company,
as
right?
a teacher, the first thing we learn is when a kid is behaving badly, you do not give them the attention they're looking for.
That's right.
Right? Why are we doing this with adults? What we need to say is when one of these people is approaching you and you know who they are. I mean, these are not random people.
You know.
Right. These
you
are
know
the
them.
Same people. When this person starts heading towards you and you don't have time to duck.
Yes.
Right? You say to the person, you know, I'm not in the place for a negative story today. Not. You don't have to give any excuses. You know, somebody died, somebody's sick. No. No excuse. You
that.
Say to the person, I'm Absolutely. Not in the place for a negative story today. And if enough of us had the guts to make that one simple statement, these people would get better material.
And we'll get the
message. They would
get better material.
They would get better material because they want your attention. They want you to listen to them.
Yeah.
And this is what they use. And they keep you captive.
I love that. Let's all say it together.
I'm not in the place for a negative story today.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful.
I was on the plane coming back from this voiceover conference. It's called FAFCON from the British Faffing About. So it's really, really, really fun. So, and the plane was delayed. Why? There was sort of a tornado warning in Newark Airport.
Just sort of,
so
yeah.
you know, so you can't really. What do you? You know, the airline did their best. They gave us free snacks in the gate and. You know, what are you going to do? There's nothing you could do. So we just, you know, I played Candy Crush on my computer and we chatted more and I got to know some people better that I hadn't gotten to meet at the conference. We got on the plane and don't you know, we thought we were going to go, but we couldn't go. So we were sitting in the tarmac 45 minutes. All right, what? It wasn't hot. It wasn't cold. But there was one lady that was just, if she could have radiated negative energy, if it was a color, it would have colored the entire plane. And even though the flight attendants were coming over and don't worry, ma'am, we're going to, the minute they tried to cheer her
Subdue
up, she got worse.
Right.
And
right.
I just thought, here's what I go, I'd rather be near her than be her. You know,
well,
I just
that's certainly true.
You know, that's
but
just
not,
like, even because sometimes you can't get away. You're in an airline
but based
seat.
On what
but
Joyce
I didn't
just said, no, you don't want to be near him because you're absorbing.
Well, you can't help it on an airline.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
there's certain choices you have. So I was sitting.
She
behind
was pollinated.
Her, and so, you know, I just refused to try to cheer her up. I just said, that's her thing. It's not my job. I would have if I could have. But, you know, just like, I sort of just I put up a guard, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like an invisible shield.
Plexiglass
thing. I can see through it, but.
That is a great
that.
Advice.
I'm not in the place for
that.
A negative
I'm
story today.
Place.
That's that's great. Awesome. Good.
Well,
any other tips?
And
for
of course, when you hang out with up people, the world, as I pointed out, the world really becomes a lighter and brighter place. And we often become more creative because maybe that day they didn't have something great. You didn't have something great to tell them.
Right.
So I tell people, make something up. Right? Nobody knows that you have not won a small lottery in Montana.
Right.
Because no one has ever been to Montana. Right? But it's okay. If all the people who told me their kid was just accepted to Harvard and they turned it down to go to UNH, I don't think so. Right? Everyone I know had
hysterical.
A kid accepted to Harvard, to Yale, to Cornell, to one of the Ivy League schools, and they all end up at Quinnipiac. Is this possible?
Not that there's anything wrong with Quinnipiac.
Not
or UNH. Or Harvard, for that matter. But, you know, it's like, it's the little bit of humor. For instance, you know, you teach special ed.
Yes.
And I have a son with a mental illness. We, you know, nobody's perfect. You know, this whole world is not full of perfect people. Perfect, maybe in
except
our own.
For us.
Except for us. No, yeah, except for us.
Right
you
in
know,
this
we're
room.
All perfect in our own way, in the, you know, la-di-da plan of the universe. But I mean, you know, so I came across this book when my kids were teenagers, and I'm sure you've heard of it. The title is Mom, Get Out of My Life, But First Would You Take Me,
to the Mall.
So that just that title alone is wonderful. But one of my other favorite books is about inside. It's about deflecting, you know, questions and negativity about your children being slightly different and full of good advice. But the title was Shut Up About Your Perfect Kid. And
it was the title that drew me in.
It's just that little bit. Like, Nikki, you've got a few books there, and
yes.
the titles make me want to read them, and that's because of humor. Can you share it? Just share
well,
the title.
Well, it's just because my husband said he needed more space, so I locked him outside. Married Life Jokes. And Why Do Men Have Nipples? So I find them all funny because...
yeah, why?
But it helps when if... you know what Joyce said, you have to have a positive attitude, but a negative person can really bring you down. And we all had sad times in our lives, and maybe we shared it, and our friends had to put up with it, especially when my father died. I was in a really bad place. But I think at the I found humor even in that dark place that I was, because you kind of turn something very, very bad and try to make light of it to survive and to get it to help you move on. You have to.
Well, let's talk about, I mean, because obviously I think in every day when you share an experience and you're all laughing about it together, it cements it somehow and it lightens the room. I have what I have read, because like you, I'm like, if you give me a topic, I'll read about it and speak
right,
about it.
Absolutely.
Fine. I can read like anybody else. I'll just spit the information back at you. But I don't have a doctor in front of my name. But can I get
Columbia
one?
Columbia will give you one just like they gave
really?
You one.
Oh, good. Thank you. But I have to write that dissertation.
Yes,
okay,
you
I
do.
Just put my book in there. But yeah. It's about vibration, isn't it? That's what they said. There's the word vibrant. Is people who vibrate high all the time. And it's when my second date with my husband, we had to talk about this, and he talked about, do you need us to get you some water? Are you okay?
Okay.
Because Saul's right there, and he'll do your bidding. I know he will. Would you like to bring your wife some water? Thank you. Just marital counseling.
Thanks,
right there. Okay. And it said that it has to do with our vibrations, and we vibrate high. And I was talking to him about waking up happy, and he said, "Well, you know, I call that, because he's a computer expert, your default mode."
Oh God!
You know, so. But if your default mode is life is terrible, then no matter what happens to you, you'll be like, "Well, I'm temporarily happy, but really life is terrible." But if your default mode is happy, it's like, "Well, this is a glitch, and I don't like it, but I know I'm going to return."
Absolutely.
To, you know, so it is, can it be learned? Can
okay.
it be changed?
Daniel Goleman, by the way, wrote an article that I had given out in one of my humor classes, because mostly I'm teaching special ed classes. My students are teachers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With special ed kids.
Yeah. Here comes your water. So while you're drinking, so you teach special ed, and your graduate course is actually entitled The Enhancement of Learning Through Humor. But when you speak as a speaker, it's just general audiences,
it's
your laughter thing. Okay.
And last year, my topic was optimism.
Love it.
Because I got an article that said optimists live 7.5 years longer than pessimists. And then I got an article that said 10 years longer. And one said 12 years longer.
I love it. So I think it's 12 because I'm an optimist.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Me too.
We
absolutely.
Go for the highest.
So
you started to say that special ed and humor, you were on a...
You know how long ago that was.
It was so long. That was before the water. I'll tell you what, this is a good time to take a break and thank our sponsors, and we'll come back and we'll continue with this conversation and maybe talk a little bit about the science of humor and how to tell a joke.
How to tell a joke.
This is the Life Talk Show.
You're too much.
It was the article that Daniel Goleman...
The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Dynamic Printing at 91 Main Street in Monroe, Connecticut. It's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. At Dynamic Printing, all your needs can be met. Everything from business cards to booklets and catalogs with that honest and friendly personal service they've been providing since 1994. Local or shipping anywhere. You can call them at 203-459-8762 or simply visit dynamicprinter.com. Dynamic Printing is flexible, and they'll help you with the research and advice you need so that your printing needs match your business goals. They're flexible, and they're right there in person. Again, it's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. Visit dynamicprinter.com for more information or call 203-459-8762. Dynamic Printing, a proud sponsor of the Life Talk Show. This segment comes to you by Interiors by Diana, a full-service interior design firm specializing in residential and commercial renovations and design. Receive a complimentary consultation at interiorsbydiana.com. The best advice for better living. And by Penguin's Best Housekeeping Service, serving commercial and residential properties in the greater Fairfield County since 1994, specializing in property management for upscale residential estates. Visit us at penguinsbesthousekeepingservice.com. The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Champions Mentoring Program, who serves children and youth in the greater Bridgeport area who are impacted by the incarceration of a family member. A rewarding opportunity to enrich and inspire the life of a child and yours. Be a champion. Tina Banas at familyreentry.org.
And we're back with the Life Talk Show talking about humor in our lives. And right before the break, we were talking about what my husband calls the default mode, but which Daniel Goldman calls what?
Daniel Goldman.
Who wrote this, The Emotional Intelligence, right, and all about, okay.
And this was in an article, and it's called the happiness gene.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And what Daniel Goldman found in the research was that some people are born, obviously, since it's genetic, with this gene that enables them to come back up. That, in other words, you can have all kinds of tragic situations in your life, and that usually after about 6 months, the person comes back to that, what
bounces
your husband's calling the default mode.
Obviously, tragedy gets in the way, but they learn to return to happiness on some level. Okay.
I actually wrote an article that's in one of these books by Kiwi Publishing that's called Mascara. And what it was about when I lost my sister and sister-in-law and husband and best friend, whose birthday would have been today.
Aww.
She was 68 today.
Wow.
They all died in 1 year.
Wow.
And I was getting up in the morning.
What was her name?
Ronnie Greenspan. Greatest friend in the world.
And may she rest in peace.
Thank you. Yeah, she died, you know.
Wow, so four deaths of people close to you in 1 year.
The closest, these were the people I spoke to every single day.
Wow.
That's
they all
huge
died
loss.
In 1 year, and I was crying in the morning. I mean,
right,
I would go into the shower and cry. It was overwhelming. And I wrote this article called Mascara. And it starts off that, you know, different people measure success in different ways. It could be by money, by achievements, by degrees. My measure of success was being able to wear mascara again. And
wow,
that it took about a year.
Wow.
And I found myself driving. I was in Florida. I was driving and the sun was shining. The top was down on the convertible. And all of a sudden, I felt this cloud lift from over me.
Oh,
and I called up my friend Irma and I said to her, who was another of my very closest friends, I said, Irma, I just realized that if only one of us was going to be alive, I'm glad it's me. And when you get to that moment to realize you still have life in you, there's still up things and good things to do.
But what
so
do you
powerful
think, you know, for those, you know, those people that say, I don't have that happiness gene, and I mean, how, like...
Can it be learned?
Yeah. What is it that brought you to that moment?
Okay, well, I have the gene.
I had a very happy
mother.
Yeah.
And a reasonably happy father and a sister and brother. I mean, everyone around me and those people that I lost that year, all very happy.
Right.
And part of that is, aside from what I was born into, the people that I choose in my life
are
all very up.
Yes.
They are always apt to see the good thing
about what is going on. Yes.
They are like glass flowing over. In fact, that's one of the things that Saul had said to me. He never saw his glass as half full. He always saw it as overflowing.
Oh,
and he does. That is
Saul,
the nature of his personality, which is
we'll marry you, Saul.
Right. Yes. That's it.
We'll just get in line.
Yes.
Okay. So lovely.
So
anyway.
What we have to do is, number one, really you have to find those people who enhance your magnificence. If you are an up person, you want to find other people who will, you know,
uplift you, will actually bring the best in you. Don't you think?
Perfectly stated.
Yes.
They will uplift you.
Yeah.
So when you're down, they will help lift you up. But when you're up, they will lift you higher.
Higher.
So that,
higher
that's a,
and
just
higher.
A marvelous thing. Now, if you have a lot of people in your life who are not like that, what can they do?
Right.
One thing that they can do, obviously, is hang out more with you.
Yeah.
Right. Another thing that they can do is stop doing the things that bring them down. And a lot of, you know, what I tell people seriously is not to read the paper too often.
No.
And if you are a big news watcher and you really are addicted
not
to the news.
Not before bed. I remember that
before
you told me years
you go to
ago.
Sleep at night.
Yeah.
Because all the good things that happen with the production of endorphins and enkephalins, that all the good
ask
things,
about that. Yes.
When you are stressed, you produce cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And the last thing you want to do is have that just coursing through your body before you go to sleep.
Before you go to sleep,
watch Everybody Loves Raymond, watch The King of Queens, whatever makes you
laugh. To build up all those endorphins.
Right.
That'll
be bathing you, and you'll feel better when you get up because what's left over, the residual of the night before
right.
is going to be the funny
so
thing that you want.
Actually,
right.
what
you,
what Joyce just right. Talking about is my father had died, and I was in a very bad place. And we went out to dinner with Joyce, and I said to Joyce, I said, Joyce, I'm having these nightmares. And Joyce, I just remember, funny you say that. And Joyce says, what are you doing before you go to bed? I said, well, you have no idea, Joyce. There's this series on PBS about the Second World War. She goes, you're kidding me, right? She goes, when are you watching that? I said, just before I go to bed. She goes, you're not serious. I said, well, it's a very interesting show. She goes, stop watching that show or any new shows before you go to bed. And you know what? All my nightmares and everything went away.
Yeah.
You know, it
right
just made
bed.
Me think about, I love this. I'm addicted to the Housewives of Miami, the Housewives of Ocean County. And it's all about, I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of watching, but it's all these women that bicker on a constant basis. And I watch it in the middle of the night. I think I've got to stop.
I think
no,
so.
I
that's
think
your
so.
Homework. That's
yes.
your homework.
Yeah, I am.
Absolutely.
I am.
Well, that's, I don't, I mean, sleeplessness, as we could do a whole show on that, obviously, but I've never allowed TVs in the bedrooms in my house. I don't, and I don't like to take my tablet to bed. I like it, but it's going to be a book. It's got to be a book or Entertainment Weekly magazine or something that's going to be
light.
An enjoyable
mm-hmm.
thing. And
right.
I used to do this ritual with my kids. We were just talking about it at dinner last night, called Three Good Things. And right before we went to bed, I said, you know, tell me your three good things of the day.
Right.
And it's so funny when your kids get older and they start telling their husbands, well, we're going to do this with our kids because my mom did
right.
it with me. And I didn't even know I was creating
right.
a ritual. I just like, no matter how bad your day is, you can usually find
it.
Three good things. And I try to do it with myself at the end of each day. I'm just like, okay, what moments do I want to cement that it will stay with me? And
yes.
it could be, and it could be anything. It could be the cat crawling into your lap and just purring. It, you know, some days
yeah.
there are big things, like maybe winning the lottery, even if you make it up, but right. still the endorphins, it's got to work, right?
Yeah.
You know, it could be landing a con, it could be anything, it could be giving to a charity, but you can always find something. And it makes me realize how much I forget of good stuff that happens during the day.
That's right.
Or sometimes
yeah.
nothing major happened, and that's really good too.
Yep.
Like everybody's still healthy and
yeah. You're, and as you're right. doing that, I'm sitting here thinking about, isn't that funny? I'm starting to think about my day already, and I'm like, what were my three good things? But that's great.
See, so
yeah.
that's the three good things. That's my.
Well,
that's
I used
my
to
little...
call Ronnie every day. This best friend who, yeah. you know, whose birthday would have been today, and I would say, "All right, Ronnie, so what's new and exciting?"
Yeah.
She'd say, "Nothing, just the way I like it."
I love it.
Which that could bring happiness too, just the norm, the
so.
Status quo, right?
Now, Joyce, do you have any suggestions, any hints of how can we have more happiness in our lives? How can we?
Well, I think
make
we've been talking about
more,
that.
More humorous, more funny. How can?
Okay. Well, right before the holidays and Thanksgiving is coming, right? Which is the
yeah.
the for another 78,000 years, this isn't going to happen again. That Thanksgiving and Hanukkah
are together.
together.
Can you
right?
say that again?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Oh, this is made up. I'm sure you can make up any.
There's a million of them.
Right?
There's a million of them. And somebody came up with a Thanksgiving menorah. Well, you know, Hanukkah's 8 days, and so
right.
the Jewish calendar is occasionally has an extra month
yes.
in it. That's
yeah.
why things get crazy.
Oh, right,
it's
right.
called
yeah. and that's,
Shana
Me'uber.
Yeah,
right.
So anyway,
70,
so that's why it's really early this year because
yeah.
the extra month is on the way or something. Or
so
just
I
happened
tell people,
so
since all these holidays are coming,
so
Hanukkah's
Joyce.
Coming, Christmas
yeah.
is coming.
That's stressful.
Tell your kids, well, I mean, I don't find them stressful, but
mm-hmm.
tell your kids that instead of buying them some crap that you're going to put in your storage unit,
that part is stressful
in your
to
bottom
me.
Drawer,
yes.
right?
Uh-huh. Tell them you would like some DVDs of your favorite funny series. And that way, when you
idea.
Are not feeling terrific or it's a kind of a slow day or you want to do something with your
mm-hmm.
family together, pop it in. It will always be available to you.
Yes.
And that costs next to nothing. And they'll spend a little time and thought going and looking
right.
for, oh,
for
I bet
right
my mother
one.
Would love this. You know, I used to love The Odd Couple.
Mm.
Used to love.
I love The Honeymooners.
The Cosby
myself.
Show.
Oh,
the Honeymooners.
Yeah.
All of these are, I Love Lucy shows. They're all
mm.
available
I
on
have
DVD.
Those,
whole
yeah,
series or the best of that is a great great gift.
And it's excellent because you're not, I believe that watching them and being interrupted by commercials every 5 minutes, you don't enjoy them the same way as the little mini plays that they really are,
absolutely,
which is excellent.
Yeah.
You know
what it just made me think about is how laughter is contagious. So my son does that. He picks all these, he loves all of the, you know, Seinfeld and all of these hysterical shows, and I will sit and watch them with him, and I will laugh, and I never really gravitate towards that, but I love when I'm upstairs and I hear him downstairs watching the shows, and he's laughing, and it starts to make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, hearing laughter
laughter's contagious. Yeah. It really is. Now, we were at a party last night, and we were all girls, and tears were coming down. I mean, one of us had to go to the bathroom and almost had an accident because we were just making fun of ourselves. One of our friends had a boob job, so the other one hit her on the thing. She goes, "Oh my God." He goes, "What was that? Hard as a rock." I mean, it was so funny. And she's like, "You didn't have to announce it to everybody that I had a boob job." And it was so, so funny. But it makes, it gives you a B12 vitamin shot.
Feels
well,
like it.
You know, my friend who I mentioned several times, Ronnie, had at one time had to have a bilateral mastectomy. I made her a farewell to boobs party.
Oh, so.
And I invited all her friends so she didn't have to call them to say that she was going to need this.
Yes.
And she wore one of those yellow things, the caution tape that said under construction.
Oh.
And she called it an under reconstruction party.
Oh, that's great.
And she made little chocolates in the shape of boobs. We laughed. We wrote funny songs for her. And people wrote me the most beautiful thank yous on how nice it was that we could have an opportunity to celebrate our friend in a fun way.
In a fun way.
Even though what she was going to be facing was something frightening.
And that's, you know, I always feel like humor, again, laughing with, not laughing at, which is a different kind of humor. Humor makes you a partner.
Yes.
It makes you a partner. Like, it's funny when you talk about feelings, like in my marriage, if something's festering underneath and you don't talk about it, then it just becomes poison, becomes toxic.
Absolutely.
But if you talk about it, eventually you laugh about it together, and then you go, "Oh yeah, that's just me being a little anal, honey. Sorry." You know, I mean, it's just like, and if you've sort of agreed that it's laughable, then you can laugh at stuff. And I know with we were talking earlier about family situations, and especially when you have teenagers and you have to tell them what to do all the time, if you can find a way to land on that runway and go, "Yeah, you know, I'm going to ask your friend to babysit for you for a while instead of saying supervise." I mean, just little things that put you on the same page and make you partners. That's what your friend was able to partner with all her friends.
Well, she was the one who wrote "Sing a Celebration" with me. And there's a book of funny songs that was put out by Ivory Tower Press. You know, the ones who wrote "I'd Rather Be 40 Than Pregnant."
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
"And Why Cucumbers Are Better Than Men." And all
those little books that make us laugh.
So she wrote all those songs with me because we always used to write songs for everybody's parties, all different occasions.
Right.
She also was the co-author of "I'm Changing the Locks and Cementing the Windows, What to Do When Your Kid Leaves for College."
Right.
And we put in all this. What was funny is when the publisher decided they were going to publish it, we needed one more chapter that had to do with technology because that had not been the issue when Ronnie and I were writing it. So I had to write the chapter without her, trying to channel her.
Mm.
And my daughter said, "Ma, the chapter was really good, but it didn't have what the other chapters had." And that's the truth, because when you're with somebody fun, you work off each other.
Yes,
and
that's
that
so
makes
true.
Everything a celebration, which is what life is supposed to be, a celebration. We are here to celebrate. We have been given a gift by God, no matter what form you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
The gift is life, and every single day we should celebrate that we're alive, that we have loving people in our lives to celebrate with, and I think that's what it's about.
And that's it. And you'll laugh and smile together.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be. So we only have about 3 or 4 minutes left, but Diana has a question. And then let's just, a couple of tips about just the science of comedy and how to tell a joke, if there's anything you can impart. And then we'll end with our final tips of the day.
Well, since we have the lovely Saul in here, I just want you to share with us how you met him.
Well, I was
I want to listen to this.
For an organization that had hired me that I never even heard of before. And he was in the audience. And at the end of my talk, he came up to tell me, I talk about Norman Cousins and how Norman Cousins' doctor checked him out of the hospital into a hotel room. And he came up to tell me that Norman Cousins' doctor was his uncle.
Really?
True
oh,
story.
We didn't know that.
So this was, you know, the term bashert, which means...
meant to be preordained.
Preordained.
Maybe. Right. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that he was in that talk that day, and he was only there because he liked the topic, which was laughter, prescription for survival, yeah. and because they offered a free breakfast with it. Right?
That would bring
me
in. Saul,
coffee, right?
So such a piece of
you always practical,
me.
Saul.
Right, which we did not know in advance.
Not as the Mexican Danish you had today.
No, no, we have
Nikki
in
brings
the
food.
Room.
Brings the food. Just quickly for any listeners who don't know who Norman Cousins is, can we have like a 20-second
yes.
recap of what he wrote? I mean, I know,
okay.
but
Norman Cousins actually wrote a half a dozen wonderful books.
Right.
Yes, but the
he
most...
had been the editor of the Saturday Review, and he came down with ankylosing spondylitis, a progressive spinal disorder, and was told that he had 1 in 500 chances of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like that prognosis so much. So he started just constantly watching Marx Brothers movies and candid camera segments.
He checked himself out of the hospital.
And took a lot of vitamin
yeah.
C.
Yeah.
Checked himself out of the hospital into mm-hmm. that hotel room where Dr. Bill Hitzig was his doctor. And that was Saul Hitzig's uncle. And he ultimately recovered from ankylosing spondylitis. Became an adjunct professor of medicine at the UCLA Medical School.
Wow.
Even though he was not a doctor. And he ultimately died at 75 of a heart attack. He was
unrelated,
totally
cured of his
from ankylosing
wow.
spondylitis.
Wow, so humor healed.
Yeah.
Now, I know
humor
our timer
heals.
Here says 4 minutes, but it's really two. So
okay.
I want you guys to know.
I want
so,
Joyce to give us a real quick thing about how to tell a joke, because I really love telling jokes, but I kind of like
well, if
not
you
as
really,
good.
If you are dying to tell a joke,
yes.
when you hear a joke you like, write it down.
Okay.
Tell it to 3 people. It doesn't matter if you read it to someone over the telephone. You've got to tell it to 3 people. And at the end of that, the joke will be yours. So that the next time that topic comes up, you will be able to recall that joke and put it together. Do not put the punchline first. And if someone else is telling the joke, don't say, oh, tell the joke about the... telling the punchline, because I know people who do that.
Yeah.
It is not the right way.
Which one? Now I have to
timing.
Say this before our time is up. Can you give us like your favorite joke?
My favorite joke.
We have all really
right.
like 45
okay,
seconds,
here's
so
your,
I think. All right.
My favorite funny joke: two ladies talk in New York. One says to the other one, "Which do you think is farther, Florida or the moon?" And the other one says, "Hello, can you see Florida?"
Done. We have about 30 seconds. Any last minute tips? I would just say if it's going to be funny tomorrow, keep that in mind while it's happening to you right now. Diana?
We talked about endorphins. Laughter increases the number and activity cell of those natural killers of viral infections and cancer and tumor cells.
And I say humor is the salt and pepper in life. You have to have it every day.
Okay. Thank you so much. Our guest today, Dr. Joyce Saltman. This is the Life Talk Show.
You've been listening to The Life Talk Show on WDJZ AM. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show. Sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki on WDJZ AM every Saturday at 4. The Life Talk Show. Join us.